Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that where two or three gather, you are in the midst of us. Father, we thank you that you live in each one of us. As we came here tonight, we brought you with us. Father, we thank you that tonight your word flows by the Holy Spirit. I thank you that your word rises up mightily on the inside of me. I thank you that you bring to remembrance that which you have said in your word. I thank you that you give us revelation tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that we are learning more and more about you and falling in love with you more and more, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been discussing the secrets of prayer, and we started off with an introduction, and we saw there that we needed to yield ourselves to the Lord and yield to the Holy Spirit for Christ to be formed in us. And generally speaking, we saw that prayer is a lifestyle. It's who Christ is within us, and that we need to live out of that intimate relationship with God. Then we looked at seven steps to intimacy in prayer, or to a deeper prayer life, and we learned a little bit more there. One of the most important aspects of our relationship with the Lord is to hear the voice of God. Now, we're talking about prayer. Now, obviously, if we're going to pray, we need to hear God. And as we've discussed before, we need to have the heart of God. We need to have the heart of the Holy Spirit. And we need to hear clearly how to pray. I mentioned before that we can pray according to a list of things. We can have 20 things in the morning or whenever we pray, and we can start at point one. And I'm not saying that those 20 points are not on God's agenda. But we need to hear from God what He wants us to pray about, if there's anything to pray about. We don't come to one another as a family. I don't come to my wife, and then when I speak to her, I start with a list. And then I mention 20 things, and then my conversation with her is over. No, we share things. We share our hearts, and that's what prayer is about. Hearing the voice of God is about sharing your heart with God, and Him sharing His heart with you and I. And that relationship is one that grows as we grow in our walk with Him. It's not something that starts on day one. Yes, on day one when we get saved, when we get born again, we start hearing God's voice. But if you compare what you were hearing on day one when you got saved, and you think about what you're hearing today, maybe 10 years, 20 years down the line, I think it's deeper, it has greater scope, there's deeper insight to it, there's some of the things that you don't share with others that God might be sharing with you. During our years of ministry, Annika and I have been asked many questions, but I think the three questions that come up the most that Christians ask us is this, and in this order. How can I be led by the Holy Spirit? That seems to be the biggest problem that people have. We regularly counsel people, we regularly talk to people, and the biggest problem is they don't even hear God. They don't hear God, and so if they don't hear God, how can they be led by God? How can they be led by His Spirit? That's a question we've been asked probably the most. Second most question, how can I determine God's will for my life? And by default, obviously, you can't determine God's will for your life if you don't know how to hear what He's saying about you and your life. And then the third most asked question is, how can I pray more effectively? Because people want their prayers answered. Whether they pray for someone else, or they pray for themselves, or they pray for their own needs, people want to have their prayers answered. All of these things have to do with prayer. It flows out of prayer. All of these questions have one common factor, the hearing of God's voice. You can't do any of them if you can't hear God's voice. It takes time. It takes effort to learn to do that. It has taken effort on both Annika and my side for us to hear one another in our marriage relationship. You know, I have to read between the lines or listen between the lines. And so she has to do that with me as well. She says to me, how are you this morning? Just my tone of voice. I might say, no, I'm okay, with a question mark at the end of my thing. Then she says, tell me how you really are this morning. You see, so we learn, but We have to get beyond the point where it's just by the hearing of the natural ears. I can sense if something is amiss with my wife, if she's not settled in her spirit, if she doesn't have peace in her spirit, or if she's carrying a burden or something. I am aware of those things. She's the same with me. But that's come over a period of time. It's the same with God. We need to become aware of what's on God's heart. And it's not that He's always going to say, Jan, this is what is on my heart. I need to become aware. I need to sense what is on His heart. I need to know my father's heart like a child knows their parents' hearts. If a child goes and visits at the house of a school friend, normally those children behave very well and they don't do things that they normally try and do, you know, naughtiness and stuff like that, because they know the heart of the parents. They know that it will not carry the approval of the parents if they do certain things at the strange house. Why? Because they know the heart of the parents. As children of God, as sons of God, we should know our Father's heart. We shouldn't have to run to God every 5 minutes and say, God, is this okay? God, is that okay? Can I do this? Can I do that? We should get to know God. He shouldn't have to speak to us all the time. We should start getting to know His heart. When it comes to specific things, that is when we start asking Him, speak to me. Amen? So the most important thing in those 3 points that I've mentioned is the hearing of God's voice. To be led and guided by the Holy Spirit, one must of necessity be able to hear God's voice. If one is to determine the will of God for one's life, it is also necessary to hear the Lord's voice. If this specific ingredient of being able to hear God's voice is missing, God's plan for individual believers will be totally thwarted, but also the church, the body of Christ. Amen? Do you agree with that? If we can't hear for ourselves, we can't hear for our families, we can't hear for our communities, we can't hear for our country, we can't hear what God is saying. So, hearing what God wants to do and is doing in the church and what He's doing in the world and what He's doing in a nation starts with an individual being able to hear God. How does that happen? God puts people over us in the Lord, leaders, that can hear God, and they should teach us. It is a almost frightening situation if we see in the last couple of years the people that we've counseled that have been Christians for many years and they have not been taught by their leaders to hear God. They don't know what we're talking about when we say, okay, God is saying this to us. They flabbergast it when we say this is what God is saying. It's not a good situation to be in. John 10 verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. But if He knows us, if He says that we can hear His voice because He knows us, then the transverse is true. We must know Him. Obviously, we have to know Him. When we know Him, we will hear His voice. And it's because He also knows us. I mean, you don't readily just walk up to some stranger in the street and speak to them, do you? No, you don't speak to them because you don't know them. So, those that are known by Him, does He know everybody? Because He's God, yes, He knows everybody. He knows what they're about. He knows every person on the face of the earth. He knows everybody that's lived that and have died, the ones that are alive now and the ones that are still to be born. He knows them. But does He know them in the sense that we talk about an intimate relationship where He can share things? No. So there's a mutual knowing here. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. Because they know Him. It's a fact about sheep. They've done tests like that, but I know from people that farm with sheep and so on, where the sheep herders get together from different farms and so on, they get together, and friends of ours that went to Israel, they went into certain parts of Israel where there were lots of sheep, where the sheep farmers were, and they went there, And there were a couple of herders, like 5 or 6 herders with all their sheep together and probably running into thousands of sheep. But towards the end of the day, as the herders were heading home, they would start calling their sheep and they would start heading in the direction to where their farm is or where the pen is for their sheep. And they said the sheep would mill around, and as the herders would go in the different directions, you'd see sheep coming out of that whole mass of sheep, and there would be a line with the, going with the one herder, and then there'd be a line in the opposite direction, and those sheep know the shepherd's voices. And it's the same with us. We must know his voice. We need to hear how he speaks. How does he speak to us? He speaks to us through the word of God. Must be in line what we hear in our spirit with the word of God. Let's look at Romans 8 verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So in other words, if you're not led by the Spirit of God, you're not a son of God. Does it mean you're born again? Yes, you can be born again. But does it mean that you have grown in the Lord to the place where you can be regarded as a son? You see, many people who call themselves Christian believers, they are immature. They sit in the church 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. They can't hear God's voice. What are they? They're still babies. They're babies in the Lord. They're children in the Lord. They have not really become sons. And at this point in time, God is looking for sons in the church. He's looking for sons in the body of Christ. And there's a price to becoming a son of God. You need to lay everything down and follow him and hear his voice. When you start hearing his voice and doing what he says to you to do, that's when you start becoming a son of God. You grow into becoming a son of God. Let's look at another scripture. John chapter 1. Verse 12. This will put what I've just said about Romans 8 verse 14. It will put it into perspective. But as to many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority or the power or the privilege or the right to become the children of God or to become sons of God. That is to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on him. But to as many as did receive and welcome him. Many believers today do not receive and welcome him. They're still living soulish, carnal lives. They refuse to lay down their lower life so that they may gain their higher life. They refuse to walk in the Spirit. They refuse to die to their own agendas. They have the choice to become a son or daughter of God, but they are not choosing that. And you can see it in their lives. There's an apparent blessing in many of their lives. They're financially fine and etc. But you just look slightly deeper than shallow deep and you'll see there's something not right. Marriage, family, etc., etc. Integrity and so forth. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, we need to look at our lives. Are we prepared to welcome him? Because he comes when we welcome him and say, Lord, I want to become a son of God. He comes as a consuming fire. Remember, Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, or the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, right? That's what the scripture tells us. And what does the word say about that? He will baptize us with what? The Holy Spirit and? We don't like the fire part. What does fire do? Burns up that which is wood, hay, and stubble. When is the day of the Lord? That verse talks about wood, hay, and stubble. Today is the day of the Lord. See, we're waiting for judgment day sometime. No. You can wait till that time and then it's not going to be good with you. I'd rather have the day of the Lord come now. It's not an easy thing. But I want to be Christ-like. I want to become more and more like Him. Without spot, without wrinkle, because I'm part of the bride. So, to as many as did receive and welcome Him, we need to count that cost. And I think some, maybe the ones that are not following Him, are not counting the cost. Or they are counting the cost and saying, the cost is too high. Or they're just saying, no, I don't want to count the cost. I don't want to even look at that. But as many as did receive and welcome Him, He gave the authority or the power, the privilege to become the children of God or the sons of God. That is, to those who believe in Him, adhere to, trust in, and rely on Him. We need to rely on Him. In other words, turn completely away from that place of self-reliance. When we walk in the flesh, when we walk in the soul, it's all about me. It's about relying on my own abilities. It's about protecting myself and making provision for myself. We need to turn totally away from that and rely on Him. Verse 13, it says there, those who owe their birth neither to bloods nor to the will of the flesh, nor to the will of man, but to God. They are born of God. We need to be truly born of God. Why am I saying all this? Because we want to hear the voice of God. There's a price to hearing the voice of God. God does not share His secrets just with anybody. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, by default, you pay the price to become a son of God. You will be led by the Spirit of God. And then He calls you a son of God. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 and verse 2. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God. If you will hearken diligently. I want us to look at that hearken diligently. That's Old English. That hearken means to hear. And it means, simplistically, just in simple English, to hear intelligently. In other words, to pay attention to what you hear and how you hear it. To hear intelligently with understanding and with an intent to obey. You see, if we have that attitude, they'll be, okay, Lord, what are you saying? So if I understand you correctly, Lord, this is what you're saying. And okay, I grasp that and I believe I hear what you're saying. And so what I'm supposed to do when you say that to me is the following. In other words, it's a two-way conversation. You know, over the years, we've counseled so many people. No, God said to me this and this and this. And it was obvious that God was speaking in a metaphor, He was speaking in picture language. He wasn't literally saying some of the things. And then these people would go and they would do these things and it would be a colossal flop. And a lot of it would bring great disrepute to the name of God. And they said, but God told me. But they have not understood God. They have not gone to God and say, Lord, explain to me what you're saying. And it shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently. The word hearken means to listen, to lend an ear. You know, when I hear that term, lend an ear, always see, especially with older people, you know, they I remember my grandmother used to sit like that at the lunch table, or when she would sit and lean forward because one ear wasn't working so well, and lend an ear, you know. To attend to what is uttered. I love it. You know, sometimes I go somewhere and I speak to somebody, and they're looking at me, but they're also looking at my mouth, and they're so keen to hear. I wonder, you know, if there's something on my mouth that they're looking, you know, but they're actually so keen to hear what I say. They're looking at my mouth, and they almost start talking with me. I'm sure you've all had that at some point. To listen with eagerness or curiosity and intelligence with the aim to obey. That's what we already said. To listen carefully as one would listen for a knock on the door. What do we normally do when we're waiting for somebody to knock on the door? We say, okay, guys, not so loud. We're waiting. We just want to hear when that person arrives at the door. So there's an anticipation. There's, okay, I'm keeping quiet. I'm focusing. That's what we need to do. To diligently hear or diligently hearken. And then it means not only to listen carefully for a knock on the door, but then to make the effort to actually open the door. We need to open our hearts to God speaking. We need to sit with Him and say, okay, Lord, speak. I mean, recently we counseled somebody and we said, so when do you ever allow God to speak? No, I do all the speaking. I pray and then I pray for this and then I sing and then I confess and I do this and this. And I said, but when does God speak to you? Oh, okay. Am I supposed to let God speak to me? Yes. I mean, if I kept on talking to my wife all the time, my wife knows how to speak to me and say, Jan, you are talking all the time. You have to let me speak now. To listen diligently, with diligence, it means with steady application and care, to take care what we hear. We need to make sure this is God. We need to make sure what He's saying. Not carelessly, not negligently. We need to listen to God in a way that we will take what He says and do it until the task is completed. In other words, we must listen to Him in such a way. Okay, Lord, you're saying this. So then we start the task. So we don't go halfway or quarter way or third way and say, okay, well, that's it, you know. We go to God and say, okay, what's the next step? We listen to God's instruction and we follow it through until it's completed. That's the way we need to listen. I mean, I've seen over the years in business areas, and I'm hearing it all the time. People don't listen. They don't listen to people on the phone when instructions are given. They don't read emails properly. No, I thought that's what you said. I said, yeah, but didn't you see the second and third paragraph? Yeah, I did, but I thought you said everything in the first one. Then why would there be a third and a fourth and a fifth paragraph? Read the whole thing, then assume what you think it is. If you don't understand, then obviously ask. Misunderstandings. We need to carefully listen so that we know that the instruction we have, that which we've heard, we can follow through until its completion. And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently. You didn't know there was so much just in those two words, eh? And it shall come to pass if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and do. That's where most people fail. People come to me excitedly. No, I heard God. He said this and this. So what are you doing about it? What do you mean, what am I doing about it? God spoke to me. They're so excited, God actually spoke to them. They don't do. It says observe and do. That word observe in the original language means to hedge about as with thorns. You know what they used to do to protect the sheep in the old days? And you still find it in rural areas. They do that. They build hedges of thorns. And they put the sheep on the inside so the wild animals can't come through. So the way that we observe, the way that we listen to God, we need to see what He's saying. It needs to bring a picture into our hearts. We must make sure that we not only hear, but it becomes alive on the inside of us. And then we need to hedge that and protect it. Observe it so that there's a focus. You see, if you hedge something around with a thorn fence, or a thorn hedge what's inside there will not go out, and what's on the outside won't come in to pollute that, to mix it up. So there's a focus. So we need to focus that thing. We need to make sure what we're hearing. We need to make it part of us. We need to hear it. We need to observe it. What I always try and do when I listen to somebody, as they speak to me, I try and see with my mind's eye what they're saying. So in other words, if I get an instruction, if somebody says to me, okay, I want you to come and deliver something to me. I want you to drive to Randburg. And I say, okay, is there a landmark near there? Yes, do you know that place, Epsom Downs Shopping Center? Yes, I do. And then I imagine it, and I see the robot there, and I see the building. There's a little tower that says Epsom, and there's a greengrocer on the one side. I say, okay, I know where Tony's greengrocer is, and I know where that is, and then I see it. And they say, okay, yes. So what you do is you stick with Tony's on the left and Epsom on the right. Okay, so then I see myself there. And then I see as I go, it's downhill, and there's a circle at the bottom. And so I try and visualize it as the person speaks. Because when I see it, it's as good as if I've been there. I have a little memory thing that I do. If I go shopping for my wife, not so often anymore, but sometimes when I do, she'll give me a list of 10 things, and I'll do a little memory thing. Then she'll say, okay, you need to buy soap powder. So in my mind's eye, I see this massive box of soap powder. Massive. It's like a towering building, 30-story building. And I can hear it coming. It's so big, you can actually hear it coming. And I can see the thing starting to tip, and it's got the hole on the side. And I hear the soap powder coming out. And then she says, then you must also buy avocados. And as I look at the soap powder, and I look at the little pieces of soap powder come out, I actually see they turn green. And I realize, these things are avos. And I hear them, and they start falling on me. And I'm knocked down by the avos. And then she says, you also need to buy paper serviettes. And as I'm falling down under this massive load of avocados, I feel that I'm getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And I touch myself. Oh, gee, I feel like a paper serviette. And then I slither out from underneath okay, you get the picture. And that is how I remember it. So then I go to the supermarket. And guess what? I go down the shelves. Oh, the washing powder. Oh, yes. And the washing powder. Oh, yes. The avocados. Oh, yes. The avocados. The paper towels. And so I go down the list and I come home with everything. And I don't have to write it down. God gave us an imagination. Amen. Observe. See, people. Interpret what God is saying. Let it become life. Live that thing. The spirit world is more real than the natural world. Many times when I've prepared to go and preach somewhere, and I've waited on God and I pray and so on, then I see myself standing on the stage or behind the pulpit. And then God would show me, there's a man at the back, at the left, he's got a white shirt on and black trousers, and he's standing with his arms folded, and he's looking down, and so then I say, Lord, what is with that? Now the man's this and that and the other thing. So I get to the service, and then I stand there, and as I'm busy ministering, all of a sudden I see there's a man standing at the back with black pants, a white shirt, and he's looking down with his arms folded. In fact, we did that exercise with Derek a while ago when he was ministering, and he was ministering at a certain church. And we said, okay, what's the Lord saying about that person? Huh? The Lord's saying that and that about the person. See, we're not even there yet. The Lord, by His Spirit, He shows us things to come. So I've laid hands on people even before I got there. That's what Jesus did many times, I believe, on the mountain at night when he would go and spend time with his Father. Guess what he does the next morning? He goes and heals the people, thousands of them. Because that's what he sees the Father do. That's what he does, isn't it? That's what he hears the Father say. That is what he goes and says. Amen? We need to observe. We need to guard that thing. We need to protect it. We need to attend to it. We need to take heed. We need to look narrowly or carefully to observe, to preserve, to regard, reserve, save, to watch carefully, like a watchman would. So, Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. Let's do it again. And it shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do. If that thing becomes real on the inside of you, God speaks to you about your life, He speaks His will into your life, and it becomes a picture, an image on the inside of you, you can't help but go and live that thing. If you go and observe and do all His commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. You see, then you walk in a place of authority because you got heaven's picture. You want authority? Go to God. Hear from God. Let Him speak into your life. When He's spoken, and nobody can shake that thing out of you and persuade you that that's not God, you will walk in God's authority, especially when they see that what you said starts coming to pass. When we listen to God in that way, then verse 2 says, then all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. You'll be smitten with God's blessings. If you hearken to the voice of the Lord. You think it pays to hear God's voice? So we've now learned how we should listen. Does God want to communicate with us? Yes. It is clear from Scripture that God is a God who wants to communicate with His creation, and He is speaking to His creation. He is the Word. So by the nature of being the Word, He is speaking. Humanity is the pinnacle of God's creation, created in His image, and it therefore stands to reason that communication with the human race is His ultimate desire. Right? When my babies were born, what did I want to do with them? I mean, even when they were flopping around and they couldn't say nothing, what would you say? Daddy, daddy, say daddy. And they couldn't even focus properly. They couldn't even drink a bottle properly. And we would try to teach them to speak. We would try to teach them to act like us. So if that's with us like that, then how much more do you think God wants to communicate with us and us communicate back with Him? Now, it's exciting when your child starts speaking to you, but you know what? Do you just leave it at mommy and daddy and dada and all that stuff? No. You want to have an intelligent conversation with them. Now the question arises now, how many of us actually do have an intelligent conversation with God? And it's just not about my wants and my needs and what I think of that and etc. That we're actually speaking divine secrets unto God. And we're sharing things. We're sharing things of eternal value with Him. About people's lives. Think about that. Come to think of it, a lot of our conversation with God is pretty babyish. Let's look at Psalm 95. You see, we grow in our relationship with God. We grow in our conversation with Him as we spend time with Him. And we study His Word and we get to know Him. Then we start having an intelligent conversation with God. What do I mean intelligent? Spiritually intelligent. Not carnal, not out of the soul, but spiritually intelligent. Psalm 95 verse 7 reads as follows. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. Right? Or the sheep of His pasture. And the sheep of His hand, it says. The people of His pasture and the, or pasture. And the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice. And you can read the rest of that. Today, if you will hear His voice. So we need to be children of God. It's my sheep hear my voice. Remember we shared that just now? My sheep hear my voice and I know them. He is our God. Is He your God? Amen. He's our God. So then, We are the people of his pasture. What do sheep do in a pasture? They eat. What do we eat? We eat the word. When we eat the word, we are partaking of him. We feed on him. And the sheep of his hand. I haven't studied it out. And the sheep of his hand. What image? We're talking about image. What do you see? The sheep of his hand. What do you see when you hear that? Okay, the sheep is eating out of his hand. Okay, and he's stroking the sheep. I see he's got his hand on the sheep's head in a caring fashion. Amen? So there's a closeness. There's a touching. Okay? Today, if you will hear his voice. So we need to be sheep. When we are that close to him, if we will hear his voice. Today, if you will hear his voice. So we still have that choice. You can or cannot. You will or will not hear his voice. Today, if you will hear his voice. Does God want to speak? Yes. Do you want to hear him? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Do we always like what he wants to say?
Yes.
That's a faith one, that one, eh? It is clear from this verse that God is speaking continually, and if we will only listen, we will hear his voice. Many times we say, yes, we want to hear, but we actually don't want to hear because we know what he's going to say, and we don't like what he wants to say to us. When we become sensitive to his voice, our entire walk with God will develop and grow. There's a process in becoming sensitive. One of the ways to become sensitive to the voice of God is to become obedient immediately to what he says. That's one of the ways. You train your spirit. And so the quicker you react and the quicker you become obedient to what he says, the easier it will be next time. And the easier you will hear what he says. A child that hardens their heart against their parents. The mother can stand next to the child in the room and say, come and have your supper. And they will not hear it. I mean, we've all had that. Well, not all of us, but those of us that have grown children know about that. They just don't want to hear. They've got an attitude, and so they don't even hear when you call them to eat. And they might be starving, but they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear. Okay? When we become sensitive to his voice, our entire walk with God will develop and grow into an awesome adventure that will not only change our own lives, but the lives of everyone we come into contact with. Because you're not just hearing for yourself. We want to bless people, isn't it? We want people to also come into a deeper relationship with God. Not so? When we listen to him, our prayers will become 100% effective because we will be able to yield to the Holy Spirit so much easier and follow his leading and guidance more accurately. Remember in the introduction, we spoke a lot about yielding to him, yielding to him. For our prayer to come out of the Christ-likeness that has been established in our hearts. So we know God is speaking. Secondly, you and I were created to hear his voice. We discussed it a little bit just now. But you and I were specifically created to hear his voice. If we created in God's image, we got ears, we got eyes, we got a mouth, we got smell. Your nose is representative of spiritual discernment, to smell something. You become aware in the spirit. You discern something. It's your spiritual smell. You and I were created to hear God's voice. Proverbs 20 verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made even both of them. Now, it's very interesting. The hearing ear, if you go and study that out, if you go and look at the original language, it's the hearkening ear. It means to hearken, the hearing ear. And it everything we spoke of just now about to hearken unto the Lord, it means exactly that. The hearing ear and the seeing eye. Remember we saw, hearken diligently unto the Lord and observe with the aim to do. In other words, to be obedient. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made even both of them. The hearkening diligently ear and the observe to do seeing eye. The Lord has made both of them. Genesis 3 verse 8. That's in the Garden of Eden, right? And they, Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they heard the voice. That heard the voice is the same as hearken diligently unto the Lord. So they were paying attention. They were looking forward to Him coming. And they hearkened unto the voice of the Lord. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You and I were created to hear God's voice. Think about that. He came to visit them in the garden in the cool of the day, and they heard the voice of the Lord. Think about it. Adam, Eve, I'm here. You. Okay, I'm sure he didn't do that, but they were waiting, they were listening. And imagine the joy that would jump up in their hearts when they heard their names called. I mean, we have it with one another. When we haven't seen one another for a day just a day. And we're excited to see one another. Imagine when God comes, starts calling your name and say, I'm here. Well, you and I were created to hear His voice. The benefits of communication with God. There are benefits. We've already touched some of them. He says He will bless us and all of those things. We'll have great blessing when we obey. But let's specifically talk about that. When we go to God and we specifically say, Lord, I want to hear. Instead of us just talking to Him and sharing our needs and etc. When we go and say, Lord, I mean business. I'm here. I want to hear for my life. Am I where You want me to be? What am I supposed to do today? Where am I going? What have You called me to do? What do You want me to minister to the people on Sunday? Whatever it is. When we go to Him with that attitude, with the right attitude, with a Christ-like attitude, God will reveal His plans and purposes for our lives. When we're serious about it. Many times we don't hear. You know why? Because we haven't obeyed the previous instructions. And we're talking about mature people here, people that have walked with God for a while. No, I don't hear from God. Don't anymore, I don't anymore. Nah, I'm totally discouraged. But when was the last time you heard from God? No, about 2.5 years ago. What did He say? Now he said for me to go and do this thing and start this business and do that and that and that. Have you done it? Nah. So why would God want to speak to you? You see, God's got a lot of time. He'll wait for you until you obey. Until your situation gets so terrible that you turn back to God and say, God, why? What's going on? And He says, you didn't do what I told you to do. Remember, we're reading just now, when we hearken diligently and observe to do, then all those blessings will come upon us, right? So when the blessings start drying up, we need to start hearing, what did He say for us to do? And it might be a simple thing to go to a brother or a sister and ask forgiveness. By speaking to us, God will reveal His plans and purposes for our lives. Let's look at Jeremiah 29. Verse 11 and 12. For I know well the plans I have in mind for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare. Not for woe. Plans to give you a future full of hope. How many of you want a future full of hope? We all want a future full of hope. Our country needs a future full of hope. A lot of people seem to think we have a future full of hope. But with some of the things they carry on doing, it's not going to be a future full of hope. A future full of hope is only found in Christ. He's the tree of life. A lot of what they think is a future full of hope is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the end result of that is what? It comes to nothing. It's carnal. It's death. It doesn't produce life. For I know well the plans I have in mind for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for woe. Plans to give you a future full of hope. Then, when you call me, when you go to pray to me, I will listen to you. You see, what I'm seeing in these verses as we've studied, there's a two-way thing going on here, a two-way relationship. I go to him to find out his plans. He gives me the right to become a son. As I become a son, I'm led of the Spirit, and he says that I'm a son. A son can go to a father and speak to the father and hear something, and then the father shares stuff. Intimate stuff. And then I can go back to the Father and say, about these things that you've been sharing. When you call me, when you go to pray to me, I will listen to you. Let's look in the Amplified. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil. To give you hope in your final outcome. How many of you want hope and peace and blessing in the final outcome of whatever it is that you are busy with? You don't want to come to the end of your life and it's a complete mess. Your children are completely messed up. There's no inheritance you leave for anybody. We don't want that. Then you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me and I will hear and heed you. Verse 13. Then you will seek me, inquire for and require me as a vital necessity and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And he says he will be found. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. How awesome is that? That's a benefit. When we start getting the blueprint for our lives, we start shouldering that responsibility that He's placed on us, that He's called us for. And we go and sit with our Father, and then there's a two-way discussion that takes place. And we start discussing important eternal things. And the lives of people can change. People that were on their way to hell because of what we discussed with the Father, because of the plans and strategies He gives us, that will be turned around. And they'll be on their way to heaven. They'll be on their way to sonship with God. Plans and purposes. His timely communications to us can prevent disaster in our lives. You know, if you go through Scripture, you can probably find many, many things. I'm just touching on some things. I'm just giving you little bits here to stimulate you into thinking, to meditate on the Lord. His timely communications to us can prevent disaster in our lives. So let's look at Psalm 91, verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. You see that? There's always us calling on the Lord and He answers us. And when He answers us, we are tuned to hear. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. A friend of ours, a prophet, he's at the Hatfield Church still. Joe van den Berg. It's actually Johan van den Berg, but they call him Joe van den Berg. Big guy. I think he still does a bit of bodybuilding. Many years ago when that bomb went off in Pretoria at the South African Air Force headquarters in Church Street, he used to walk to work. That's before he was at Hatfield, I believe. And he used to walk past the main entrance of the Air Force headquarters. Now, I used to work there, and it's a 10 or 15 story building, and then there's the Poynton's complex across the road from there, and they're even higher buildings, 25 stories or higher. So if something, a bomb would go off in that confined space, you can imagine. I mean, windows would shatter. I mean, the buildings would probably crack and stuff like that. So anyway, so he was on his way, and the Lord said to him, don't walk that way today, this morning. Go around the back of the building, the other side, and then come back to the street. And so he obeyed. So he walked around. He was exactly at the back of the building on the other side when the bomb exploded. And I mean, I don't know how many. There were hundreds of people. Hundreds and hundreds were injured. I mean, many were killed. It went off as the people went to work, as they were coming in and out the front entrance, the main glass entrance of the South African Air Force headquarters. People were coming in and out there. And the car bomb, it was parked right in front of that entrance, so you can imagine. Many people were killed. Some of the people said they couldn't find them. So, do you think it paid Joe to obey God that day? Hearken diligently and observe to do. So God said, go around the back of the building. So he went around the back. He observed and he did. And it saved his life. Otherwise, we wouldn't have that powerful prophet today. He's a powerful prophet of God. In fact, he prophesied the economic boom that we're experiencing in South Africa today. His timely communications to us can prevent disaster in our lives. If we just prepare to hear. God's communication with us will also bring provision into our lives. One of the examples is Pastor Henny van Niekerk from Louis Trichardt. He's a prophet. And he was on his way to buy a loaf of bread. And then God said to him, go to the, where is it, Albany. Yeah, go to the Albany Cafe. Well, he calls it Albany. He's very Afrikaans. So he said, but Lord, I always buy it there. So the Lord says, go there and buy your bread there. And on the way there, a brand new tire, truck tire had fallen off a truck. And so the story was he took it to the police, kept it there for 3 months. Nobody claimed the tire. He took the tire and then he sold it. He sold it for 1200 rand. And so he took the 1200 rand and then he went to an auction where there were gearboxes. And the Lord said to him, buy the gearboxes. And he bought literally hundreds of thousands of rands worth of gearboxes for next to nothing. And then they just sat there. They were kind of gearboxes that he didn't know what to do with. And then somebody came and they started buying the gearboxes. And it's gearboxes that no one else seemed to want. But he was obedient to God. His communication, God's communication with us will bring provision into our lives. We need to hear. Many, many times when I was still out on the road as a rep, God would say, go to that client today. Go there now. And I would go there. And they would be waiting for me. And they already phoned the competition company. And they were going to order from them. And as I walk in, they say, okay, here you are. And then they would place the order. And they'd phone the competition company. And they'd cancel. That happened many times with me. Provision. His communication with us will bring provision into our lives. It will bring His peace into our lives. When He comforts you, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. It will bring transformation into our lives. When we start doing the things He tells us to do in the sense of, in the area of He shows us things in our heart and we start repenting and we open up to someone else and we go to that person and say, you know, I've had hatred or bitterness towards you for many, many years. Transformation takes place in us. Transformation into the image of Christ. Is that not what we're looking for? The ultimate purpose of God's communication is to bring us into an intimate relationship with Him. He will tell us how He wants us to seek Him. Our friend Alan Burrow, who's also a prophet, we seem to know a lot of prophets. Yeah, Ron Kusmal is a prophet. Edward Jones is a prophet. Joe van den Berg is a prophet. So, anyway. God brings us into an intimate relationship with Him. Derek Ward is a prophet. There you go. Let's look at John chapter 4, verse 34. What I wanted to say about Alan, God told him to tithe his time that he spends with Him. And so he would pray for 2 hours and 24 minutes or 2 hours and 40 minutes. Anyway, it's 10% of the time from 12 o'clock at night until his 10% was up. He did that for many years. He would get up and pray that time of the night. And we can see great fruit in his life. That's what I wanted to say. God will tell you how He wants you to seek Him. John 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food or nourishment is to do the will or the pleasure of Him who sent me and to accomplish and completely finish His work." My food, my nourishment is to do His will. We hear the word of God, we obey, and it becomes nourishment to us. John 5, verse 19. Let's look at verse 19. So Jesus answered them by saying, "I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing from Himself of His own accord, but He is able to do only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way." Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of the Father." But He's only able to do that which He sees the Father do. That should be nourishment to us. It's, if you know, when I'm obedient to God and I do something, man, it just lifts my spirit. Verse 30 of chapter 5, John chapter 5. He says, "I'm able to do nothing from myself independently of my own accord, but as I am taught by God and as I get His orders, I decide as I am bidden to decide." See, He decides as He is bidden to decide. God says to Him, "I want you to decide to do that now." "Yes, Lord, I'm deciding to follow You." How's that? Yieldedness. "As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. Yes, Lord, I decide to do this now." So, He says in verse 19, "What I see Him do is what I do. What I hear Him say is what I say." And obviously there's action connected to that. Even as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is right, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. That's the food. That's why it's food to Him. John 8, verse 38. "I tell the things which I have seen and learned at my Father's side. And your actions also reflect what you have heard and learned from your Father." And He's talking about the Pharisees. Their father, the devil, remember? "I tell the things which I've seen and learned at my Father's side. And your actions also reflect." So in other words, His actions reflected what He had seen and learned at His Father's side. And that's His food. John 12, verse 49. And that's the last scripture. John 12, verse 49. "This is because I have never spoken on my own authority or of my own accord or self-appointed. But the Father who has sent me has Himself given me orders what to say and what to tell." Verse 50, we can read that too. "And I know that His commandment is or means eternal life. So whatever I speak, I am saying exactly what my Father has told me to say and in accordance with His instructions." How's that? When we obey, when we do the will of God, it's food to us. It nourishes us. I mean, we can just go through Scripture. There's so much depth to this. You can study this out for yourself. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank you for the richness of your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is food to us. But Lord, obedience to do your will, like Jesus said, is food, nourishment to us, to do your bidding, to do your pleasure. And so, Father, we thank you. In the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead, as we walk with you, we hear your voice clearer and clearer. We grow more intimate with you. And we become the sons of God that can do the works of the kingdom. And we worship you tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you bring this word to our remembrance. In Jesus' name, amen.